Alison will tell us a little about Ubuntu's look at the future of open application development. I hope she'll capture you with all the interesting stuff that's going on in that community, and wish her also a very nice talk. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. So what I have is a little bit of perspective on the future. It's not so much this is how the future will be, but it's a little bit more possibilities for the future. So we spend a lot of time as software developers thinking about user experience. What is it like for a user to approach a new application or a new operating system? How can we make those applications easier for them to understand or easier for them to get started? We don't spend quite so much time talking about the developer experience. What is it like to first come to Linux, to first come to an open application stack, and try to develop your first application? So right now, if you want to develop an application on Linux, this is the stack that you're dealing with. Or maybe this is the stack you're dealing with. Or maybe this is the stack that you're dealing with. Or maybe that one, or maybe that one, or any of about a dozen other possible application stacks that you could be working with when you first write your application. So the very first thing that we present a new developer with is a wide array of choices. Now, from my perspective, this is actually an advantage. So in Linux, in the open application development community, we are able to evolve very rapidly because we allow for diversity. We allow people to explore different possibilities. You know, maybe Qt pushes down one route and Kde pushes down another route, and you know, the GNOME GTK sort of pushes down another route, and they can all explore the possibilities and evolve particular features or particular functionality. So what that means for us is very rapid innovation, rapid change. Things move very quickly. New features get added very quickly. Unfortunately, what it also means is that for the developer, it's a bewildering experience. For the new developer especially, but even for the experienced developer, if you want to start a new project, the first thing you have to do is choose between a huge array of toolkits. A huge array of libraries, a huge array of different ways of doing things. So what I would like to explore, what I've been exploring over the past few months, is how to change that experience for the developer. In the US, the entryway to a freeway is called an on-ramp. I don't know what it's called in Europe. But so what you want is you want an easy path for developers to get started developing applications. So what that means is instead of presenting them first with 100 different choices, you start with a really simple set. So you make some default choices for the easy path. Now, that doesn't take away your full set of options on the Linux ecosystem. You don't say, oh, we throw away everything else, because you don't want to lose that competitive advantage of rapid evolution, of rapid innovation. You just want to make things easier for people getting started. So if we start walking down this path, what do we need to make it happen? So part of it's about the tool chain, the interactive development environment, the IDEs that developers use, the set of libraries that developers use. Part of it is that, in that level. Part of it is the debugging tools that people use. There are some enormously powerful tools out there, but all scattershot. You know, so you might develop in Eclipse, or you might develop in Vim, or you might develop in Emacs. And then you might run Valgrind to check your memory, and then you might run. So there's a whole bunch of tools, but there's no view into all of those tools. And there's not an easy way to find those tools. So the experience for the developer is ask someone who knows. And gradually, over time, you build up this whole picture of what you can use to develop an application in Linux. But it is kind of an oral tradition. It's something that you pass along from person to person. You don't have a consistent interface into all these powerful tools. So it's not about changing tools themselves. It's about helping people, especially new developers, to interface into the power we already have. The interfaces that we have right now are exceedingly inconsistent because they are all developed in little individual projects scattered all over the world. So you want to provide new developers with consistent API. Consistent set of APIs for like interfacing to sound, interfacing to video, interfacing to all these standard components. But again, you don't want to lose that competitive advantage. You don't want to lose the diversity. So if you can develop a consistent level of APIs on the top, which can actually plug into a number of different toolkits on the back end, then you get both. You get both the consistency at the high level and also the diversity in the foundation. So documentation is another key piece to this. Now, pretty much every project out there today has some documentation. Some of it's really good, some of it's not so good, but much in the same way as the debugging tools or the developer toolkit, it can be very difficult to find it. So if you know you're looking for documentation on GTK, there's very good documentation out there. If all you know is, I want to create a GUI application, you know, all you know is the very beginning, it's hard to link into the specific documentation on how to go about doing that. So in much the same way as the toolkits, it's about aggregating and sort of providing a layer of abstraction on top of the little details to make it easier for developers to hook in. So it's not just about creating your application. Once you create an application, you want to get it to the users. Now, right now when we talk about distribution, we're often talking about like Fedora, SUSE, Ubuntu. We're talking about a Linux distribution. And that is one level of interfacing to the users. So that level, we could make it much, much easier for developers to get their applications onto a Linux distribution. But more and more today, what application developers are expecting is an experience more like the App Store. So, you know, this is something that really changed with the iPhone App Store and the Android Marketplace. That nowadays, developers don't expect to spend a year developing an application and then 6 months getting it into a Linux distribution. 6 months if you're lucky. Sometimes more like a year, depending on the distribution. What they want the experience of, I sit down, I develop my application, maybe it takes me a week. It's a small application. It's Angry Birds. It's, you know, a Twitter client. It's something little. And then the next day, I submit it, and it's available to all of my users. This is what developers expect these days. And if we try to tell them, nope, sorry, I know you only spent a week developing your application, but it's going to take you 6 months to a year to get it to your users. That's like complete dead kill of motivation for the new developer. And it's not surprising that it's hard to get new developers or attract new developers to the platform when you make them go through that mind pain. So the App Store is an important model. Another piece of the App Store model that's important is not just the ease of getting your application out to the developers or to the users, but also getting the feedback from the users. So one of the things that Android Marketplace makes, it makes it so popular, is it gets out quickly and you instantly start getting reviews back from your users. You know, if you get one star, if you start getting really bad comments on your application, then you have that instant feedback, you know, that didn't work out so well. You start having suggestions. You can integrate into the next version. And, you know, you can start going in these like 1 week cycles. It's very, very rapid feedback and redevelopment and redeployment. And you can really reach out to the users and meet their needs. So this is something that's very tricky right now for developers, because we don't really know yet what makes a good application. We don't really know why Angry Birds is so popular. We don't really know why one email client is more popular than another. So the way to figure that out is, first of all, you need to know which application people are using. You need to know which ones. Like, if you don't know that one application has 5 users and another application has 50,000 users, you don't know how to compare between the two. So you need the data. And then you need to start experimenting. So if you can start experimenting across 100,000 applications, then you can start to say, okay, so these 5 applications each have 50,000 users. Interesting. So what is it about these 5 applications that people love so much? And then you can start breaking it down and analyzing what makes a good application. And then you can start building that into the tools. So what you want is you want your tools to make it very easy to make really good applications that the users are going to love. So that goes back to providing sane defaults in the tools themselves. So this is the potential that we have for Linux application development, for open application development. It's to move beyond the current sort of chaos into a new realm where we actually help the developers make better applications. And that improves not only the developer experience, but then it feeds right back and ends up improving user experience. So the user experience on Linux needs that assistance, needs that little boost in application development. So making the developer experience simpler is going to produce more applications on Linux, more open applications. You know, right now, there are people who have good ideas who just never implement them because it's so difficult to get into application development with these open tools. And even more importantly, those applications that we're producing, you know, you could produce a million like really terrible applications, and that's not really going to change the game at all. But if we produce even say 1,000 new, really, really good applications, where it's not just, oh, here's another duplicate of the email client that you have on every other distribution, but here's an email client that completely changes the way you see your email, that completely smooths out your workflow in email. Here's a video player that integrates with your lifestyle across your desktop, your laptop, your netbook, and your cell phone, because they're all running the same operating system underneath. Catch is we kind of have to change the way we develop toolkits. So right now we have a whole bunch of different toolkits across the platform. And there is that rapid evolution, there's that rapid innovation, but it tends to happen in silos. So one toolkit may not benefit from the evolution on another toolkit. So we really need to spend a whole lot more time talking to each other. You know, like let's be distribution agnostic, be toolkit agnostic, and spend time sharing ideas. Because the more we do that, the more quickly we'll evolve the whole ecosystem of open application development. So, any questions? Yeah. The question for the recorder is whether we're working on the App Store. Yes, so it's called the Ubuntu Software Center on the Ubuntu side. There are others for other distributions and other toolkits with different names and different implementations. But I'd say that right now there's probably a couple dozen App Store implementations floating around for various different systems.
Are there barriers for non-open apps? You know, do you accept commercial applications, people putting as software applications?
So it's, is the App Store more commercial or free software? We accept both. There's on Ubuntu, there's still some legal work in place to make sure it's easy to accept. So it's easy to have a commercial application where there's a company that you're interacting with. It's a little bit harder when it's an individual. You can do it. It just requires a little more infrastructure to make that possible. But right now we have both. And we've actually started experimenting with a new program for the Software Center that is to help application developers get the more rapid turnaround. So instead of waiting 6 months to get your application in, we're trying to make it more like 2 weeks. We're not quite, I mean, we'd like to get it down to 5 minutes, but that takes a little bit more time. Another question in the back? The question is about different projects talking together and how we encourage that to happen. So it is difficult, but a lot of that difficulty is just because we haven't done it much. It makes sense, like any conversation with two people. The more frequently you talk, the easier it is to talk the next time. So we are working on that in various different channels. One, what I would say a really good example of that right now is the DEX project in Debian. And this is to get a whole bunch of downstreams from Debian all working together with Debian to help push things upstream. There's been some really rapid progress with that lately. They've been sweeping through bug queues and getting them upstreamed. And so that is, I think, a good illustration of what it could be like. The Desktop Summit, which is coming up later this year, is already a KDE and GNOME combined conference. So there's a lot of opportunity there to get more and more people talking to each other. And we like to get a whole bunch of distributions there as well and other toolkits there as well to sort of open up that broader conversation. So there's multiple different avenues towards this, but the biggest thing is just to start people talking regularly and then just develop the conversation from there. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much.
Quick final word. I will be giving you soon a tiny little envelope with a gift from you to UNICEF on behalf of as a thanks for you giving this talk. It's a short break, and we'll be continuing in just a few minutes, so hang around.